To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a high-definition view of the sky reflected in the waters of Lake Hiawassee near sunset comes to us from Fred Dimmick, who shared this scene from his visit to the Hanging Dog Recreational Area on social media on Thursday, March 7th. Fred is always sharing stops along the path of his life with his friends on Facebook, but this one is really special. It's so beautiful, it's almost unreal, and it made me wonder if Fred got a new camera. But that's life. We do the same things day after day, and then time, circumstances, and the Lord come together to make otherwise normal days have spectacular moments. Well, it's Saturday, and I had one of those spectacular moments after work yesterday during my commute to my countryside home in Easton. I had a long day at work yesterday, and when quitting time came, I was rejoicing over the fact that another work week was over, and I decided to worship the Lord in song to thank Him. Right now, I'm trying to recall the events that led to that decision, because there was something there that triggered that decision, something to do with God and my life right now. But I can't recall the specifics. Anyway, when I turned on my quote-unquote Crossroads playlist, which is a mix of inspirational secular songs from my past and some heart songs of Christian praise and worship, the Lord's presence came storming into the moment, bringing to my mind and heart the truth of my relationship with Him, the victories of the past, and hope for the future. God was in the car with me, and I was undone emotionally, rejoicing over His love for me and simultaneously letting the pain of recent difficulties in my life come pouring out to be healed. God was speaking to me through the music to remind me that I wasn't alone. He had been with me in the past to deliver me, and I could rely on Him in the future to do the same. These realizations caused me to whoop, holler, sing, praise, raise my hands, cry, and emphatically rejoice over my life of freedom that has been given to me. The manifest presence of the Lord was in the house, crafting time and space to give me this magic moment that I would call the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about it. It talks about this in Ephesians 5:18-21, which says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Do you see the tie-in here of music, thanksgiving, and the Lord? My baptism in the Holy Spirit happened when I went into recovery and one day sang to, thanked, and praised the Lord and asked Him to come, Holy Spirit, come. Yesterday, I didn't ask. I didn't knock, but the Lord's presence came all the same. He knew I needed it as I have been overcome with anxiety and frustration during recent events and He wanted me to know that I wasn't alone and that I could trust Him to move everything together for good, even if I couldn't see it. I had been trying to fix things on my own, and He showed up to remind me to remain faithful, but to let go and let Him do what He has always done. Even though I had been trying to be encouraging to others, my heart and mind needed to be encouraged to surrender all the uncertain outcomes and concerns of my life to Him. As the Lord brought to mind all the blessings of my life, I shouted in triumph because even though I knew these things, my heart had forgotten just how glorious this strange journey has been and how wonderful my life is. Yesterday, God used soul music to bring me back to joy and to pipe in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Although John MacArthur would disagree with my calling my initial experience of the manifest presence of God the baptism of the Holy Spirit, his commentary on Ephesians 5:18 tells us about this infilling. The MacArthur commentary says, Paul is not speaking of the Holy Spirit's indwelling or the baptism by Christ with the Holy Spirit, because every Christian is indwelt and baptized by the Spirit at the time of salvation. He is rather giving a command for believers to live continually under the influence of the Spirit by letting the Word control them, pursuing pure lives, confessing all known sin, dying to self, surrendering to God's will, and depending on His power in all things. Being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting His mind, through the Word, dominate everything that is thought and done. Being filled with the Spirit is the same as walking in the Spirit. Christ exemplified this way of life. That's what I try to do. Live in the conscious presence of the Lord. But I can tell you, sometimes our walk with God is special moments where the Lord reaches out to strengthen us, and yesterday was one of them for me. And I had to write about it because I don't want to forget it or blow it off. I want to stay in that place where I know the truth of my relationship with God in the present moment, experientially. These moments fuel our faithfulness, and you never know when God will reach through the veil to give them to you. But when they happen, you know it. So I'm encouraged to encourage you to keep walking and talking with God. And what better time to do that than now in the season of Lent? And speaking of Lent, it is the 22nd day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gratia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional, it is our hope that we get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday. And so we continue journey day 22. And Martin Luther writes, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy Christian church, the community of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the flesh, and eternal life. Amen." To this article, as I have said, I cannot give a better title than Being Made Holy. In it are expressed and portrayed the Holy Spirit and His office, which is that He makes us holy. Therefore, we must concentrate on the term Holy Spirit because it is so precise, we can find no substitute for it. God's Spirit alone is called a Holy Spirit, that is, the one who has made us holy and still makes us holy. As the Father is called a Creator and the Son is called a Redeemer, so on account of His work, the Holy Spirit must be called a Sanctifier, or one who makes us holy. How does such sanctifying take place? Answer: the Holy Spirit affects our being made holy through the following: the community of saints, or Christian church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life, and the life everlasting. That is, He first leads us into His holy community, places us in the church's lap, where He preaches to us and brings us to Christ. That was all by Martin Luther. And today's biblical wisdom that's paired with that is from John 16, 13 through 15. And the Word of God says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." Those are the words of Jesus about the Holy Spirit. And at this point, our devotional, suggests taking some time for silence and meditation. And so if you'd like to do that, pause the podcast or stop reading and reflect on the Holy Spirit's office and what Martin Luther said in John 16, 13 through 15. And when you're ready, we can go to the questions to ponder. Which the first one is, what do you think Martin Luther means when he says the Holy Spirit is the one who makes us holy? What does it mean to be made holy? To be made holy means to be set apart for God's purposes, to live to serve his kingdom. A cursory study of scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit reveal that he leads us into all truth and grants us repentance. It is through the Holy Spirit that we see the truth of the gospel and are led to turn from our sins and grow in our faith. This is for real. They don't call it walking in the Spirit for nothing. We can experience God's presence, love, and help in our lives when we walk with him. The next question says, Luther says the Spirit affects our being made holy through the community of saints or Christian church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Reflect on these four. How do they make us holy? The community of saints gives us a place to grow, where the word is preached, studied, reflected on, and practiced with how we live. That makes us holy. The forgiveness of sin gives us freedom and healing and encourages us not to go back into darkness. That makes us holy. And the resurrection of the body gives us proof that Jesus is God and that he blesses us with the gift of the Comforter who indwells within our bodies, making us spiritually alive. We were resurrected to life with Christ. That makes us holy. And finally, the everlasting life gives us the freedom over the fear of death and the eternal purpose of serving God's kingdom. We stop living for ourselves and start living for God's kingdom. That makes us holy. And the last question asks, according to today's reading from Luther, what is the church's primary task and why? Luther's comment indicates that the church's purpose is to preach the word. Why? To bring people to Christ and to make us holy. And then we move along to today's devotional psalm fragment, which is Psalm 104, verses 27 through 30. And the word of God says, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created and renew the face of the ground. And we move along to the journal reflections, which ask us to meditate in writing on your understanding and experience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us. My understanding is the Holy Spirit guides us into a deeper walk with the Lord by illuminating the scriptures and in conflicting our hearts to obey God's word. His presence comforts us and strengthens us. His intuitions reveal to us things to come and inspires us to good works and sanctification. That's a very basic description of my experiences with the Holy Spirit. But for more on that, read my entire blog. Thank you. Let's see, and we move along to the next journal reflections prompting, which says, have you ever felt as if the Holy Spirit was bringing Christ to you as you studied his word or heard it preached or participated in the activities of his church? If so, write about the experience and its impact on you. I'd say yes all the time for all the above. Part of the purpose of my blogging and podcast is to proclaim the truth of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in the lives of Christians who surrender to God's wills for their lives. So pick up your cross and follow Jesus, and the Comforter will accompany you on the path of Christian discipleship. Seek the Lord. And finally, the last prompting says, have you experienced yourself being made holy? If so, has it changed how you make decisions? How you live in relationships? If not, can you imagine being made holy and its consequences? Yes, I have experienced being made holy. I have repented and been set free from my former besetting sins to experience freedom. It has changed my entire life and my relationships. My marriage has God at the center of it. My friendships are faith-based because no matter who you are, I will encourage you to seek the Lord, Christian or not. And we move along to the prayers for the life of faith, which prompts us to pray that your relationship with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit will become more dear to you, and that the gift of faith you have received will flow from you into good deeds for your family, friends, and neighbors. So yeah, let's pray. Lord, I pray that my relationship with you through Jesus and the Holy Spirit will somehow become more dear to me, and that the gift of faith that I have received will flow from me into good works for my family, friends, and neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, the prayer for today is, Come, Holy Spirit, teach me more about God, and quicken my love for you and my neighbors so that I may serve you as I should be serving them. Amen. And we move along to today's Bible verse, which comes from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verse comes from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verse is Colossians 3:5, which says, Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Today's verses fall under the ninth point of our Counseling Reference Guide's research section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. That ninth point is, put covetousness to death. Today's verse tells us to repent of sexual immorality. Let's not miss that. Sexual purity is important to God and our lives of faith. But it also speaks of the root of lust, covetousness, wanting what is not rightfully yours. Why is the command to not covet one of the Ten Commandments? Because it leads us into various sins that stem from covetousness. God has approved means to meet all our needs, but covetousness causes us to disregard those means because we want what we want, and covetousness causes us not to care how we get it. So put to death what is earthly within you, and follow God's ways to meet your wants, desires, and needs. When we decide to not want what is not ours, covetousness is cast out and results in the consideration of sin to be an illogical possibility. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in his devotional, Alford encourages us to read a chapter of Scripture each day. Today's chapter would be Luke 11. And from Luke 11, he shares a portion of verse 34, which says, The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. And Alford writes, The eye cannot contain light in itself. It reflects light from the source of light. If, therefore, the body is to be full of light, the eyes must be focused on the true source of light, even the Lord Jesus. Hence, the Apostle says, looking unto Jesus in Hebrews 12:2. Fellowship is only maintained as I walk in the light, even as my Lord is in the light. How necessary it is, then, that my eyes be fixed on him. And he closes by writing, Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Yeah, we are to walk in the light as he is in the light, and when we're afflicted by fear, anxiety, or overcome by fleshly desires, we know that we might be walking with God, but we're stepping in the shadows of darkness and, you know, experiencing a disharmony from it, you know, from our lack of trust or from our slowly sinking into sin. We realize we've gone astray, and sometimes the Lord will reach into your situation. Even when you think you're being faithful and you think you have the joy of the Lord, he comes in storming in with his Holy Spirit to show you, you know, you've lost a part of it. And it's usually the heart part. When we have faith in our heads and not in our hearts, and we don't have that joy and peace that surround us and infuse us, and we let circumstances, you know, frustrate us, and causes to worry or fear, we've forgotten the face of our Father. We've forgotten God. And we've forgotten what he's done for us. Or we're disregarded it. We shouldn't blow these things off. God has come into our lives to show us the truth through the Holy Spirit, and he revealed to us the truth about Jesus. And if we've been called to repent and change, that was the Holy Spirit moving us too. And if we have a measure of victory, that was the Holy Spirit granting us repentance, freedom, and victory. And if we've received his peace, that's receiving his comfort. God is alive and well in the lives of Christians who follow him. There's no doubt about it. But notice there was a condition there, following him. And that's why we do the blog. Because when we contemplate the Christian life, it seems like a burden or a bummer and a chore. But what it is actually is an adventure. And it's a process of being made holy, becoming more and more like Jesus, and experiencing the great benefit of walking in the Spirit is experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. And we should never forget that. And I encourage you to follow the Lord and to regularly praise and worship him in song. Let Ephesians 5:18 through 21 inspire you to make that a regular spiritual practice. You know, as I reflect on the last few weeks of struggling with, situations beyond my control, I noticed something else about it. A lack of worship and song, Some lackluster worship sessions. And I could, I could blame the worship leaders or whatever. And those few moments that I actually worship. But what I should have done is have a regular practice myself. Either in the car or at home, where I would come before the Lord by myself in song. And yesterday the Lord arranged for that spontaneously. Like I said, something triggered it. What triggered the praise and worship session? Well, it was the Holy Spirit, because guess what? He came flooding into my car, flooding in my life and my heart and mind yesterday. And it reminded me not to, to not let these problems be bigger than myself or bigger than him. Together, me and the Lord have walked through so much and have experienced, he's shown me so much and caused me to grow so much that I rejoiced like I'd won the Super Bowl yesterday. Because I have, the things I have now is not, my life now is not what it used to be. It's so much better, and I'm blessed in so many ways. And apparently I thought I needed to be blessed in all ways, and that even, a problem that in my family is somehow going to destroy all that. And that's not the truth. That's a lie. A little bit of hell. The enemy would encourage us to believe that, this one problem is too big or changes everything and ruins everything. That's not the truth. That's not the truth at all. That's a problem over there. And our life with Christ is right here. And that's not changing. The freedom and victory isn't changing unless we fail to follow him. And so I've been following him. Apparently I needed that, I needed that infilling of the Holy Spirit yesterday, and I got it. And I'm not letting it go. And a lot of this has to do with directing our thoughts, Direct your thoughts on the truth of God's word and the fact that he is with us and he will deliver us. And yeah, outcomes in life, we all grow old and die and things fall apart. But somewhere in the midst of that, there's the truth of the reality that we're becoming more and more like Jesus and we're going into God's kingdom. So yeah, it looks like a big tragedy on the earthly side, but the spiritual side, it doesn't have to be that way. And in ultimate reality, we'll have life eternal in God's kingdom. And in the midst of it all, God's working things all things together for his good, of those who love him and follow him and are called according to his purpose. And that's, brother, that's me. Let's answer the call. We've all been called. And so let's follow. And so today, I'm going to rejoice. I'm not sure what the day holds. Tomorrow I'll be leading someone through the steps to freedom in Christ. So there's that victory work going to be done. But today I think I'm going to rejoice and try to get ahead on the blog a bit. I'm preparing next week's messages. You know, I have to transcribe all of this 40-day journey into Word document so I can have it and respond to it. And that's sort of a task in a task in itself. So we'll be doing that this morning. We're also in the presence of our lovely wife, Tammy Lynn, and we'll be enjoying that today, no matter what we do. And wherever she wants to go or call us to go experience something today, well, I'm open to it and I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to it. So I pray that anyone listening today, well, let's go to prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for coming into our lives continually, and especially yesterday afternoon. We thank you for your presence and reminding us of the victory we have in you and you alone, and that you are our victory. You are our future, and we need not fear anything, that we have great hope in you, and we're not going to let go of it. Lord, we pray for anyone listening today that you'd come alongside them in their prayer requests and their walk of faith, and that you'd bless them. Lord, we pray for you to go before us today and show us the things you want us to see. Lead us in the things we should do. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.